Welcome to OK Sis. We are two cultural observers
and curious minds who happen to be related.
I'm Scout.
And I'm Maddie. Get ready for some serious sororal energy
as we chat about and comment on one another's current fixation of the week.
Ready, sisters?
Hello and welcome back to OK Sis. My name is Maddie.
I am Scout, and we are the sisters IRL behind OK Sis podcast.
IRL girl. Oh yeah. So this is an episode.
You're probably wondering why it's Sunday. Well,
that's what I was saying. You're probably wondering why you got a little notification for a new OK Sis episode on Sunday. Because we're usually TGIM gals over here, but we thought that this was a really pressing and important issue for us to have a conversation about. And so in light of the murder of George Floyd over this week and the riots and protests that have ensued, we have been looking to a particular person on the internet, and I'm sure most of you have as well. Her name is Dawn Roberts, and she has been an incredible light and guiding force and resource with such an approachable quality to her social media. And so we reached out to her today, and graciously she put aside some time to have a conversation with us and a very raw, transparent, beautiful conversation and
about racism in America, about white privilege, what we as white women and white citizens of this country need to be doing in the most emotional way. We talk about the petitions we can sign, which we are going to be posting on our Instagram for the next few days, so that if you guys do want to take action, which we really hope you do, we'll provide easy resources. But
this is further than that.
Yeah, this is about the emotional discovery that we as white people have to go through to really understand our white privilege and the societal and systematic racism that is very alive, unfortunately, in our country. So this was an extremely emotional conversation.
Illuminating.
Enlightening conversation. And we hope that it, you know, helps further this conversation that we obviously cannot stay silent to any longer. A little bit of news is that our Instagram over the next few days is going to be solely dedicated to the Black Lives Matter movement, to the injustice that was George Floyd's murder, and making sure these policemen are held accountable. So if you see it, you know, that's just what we're committing to do with our platform during this time.
Yeah. And we're pledging also to be, and we mentioned this a little bit in the conversation with Dom. We know that we haven't been as good about diversity in the guests that we have on OK Sis podcast. And we pledge to highlight and lift up and empower women of color, of minorities, of different perspectives than ours and different upbringings than ours. That is something that has been a goal for ours and of ours for a long time. And I'm the first one to say we did not take it as seriously, and we are committed because there are just such beautiful, confident, strong, incredible business owners, entrepreneurs, influencers, of course. And it started with Dom, and she was so gracious and patient with us and asking all of the questions that we needed. And
we apologize if you're a part of the sisterhood and have felt alienated in that way. Mm-hmm. So this is us totally owning that and doing better in that front. So for the next few episodes, we will be only highlighting women of color during this time to make sure that their voices are elevated to the extent that they deserve. We have a platform and we understand that we can use it for that. So,
Apologies for the audio quality. You guys know I'm a stickler for audio quality.
Yeah, sorry,
and we were expecting to record today. So our recorder left, the batteries said no more. So the quality will be Zoom, so just keep that in mind.
But this is too important of a conversation to not post. So
exactly.
We hope this.
And to all of our Black listeners, we see you. We are here to support you. You guys know we have a secret Facebook group. You are always welcome and to post and be vulnerable in there. There's a community of women that are ready to support you with open arms and hear you, really, really hear you. And it's also a great place to post resources if you'd like as well.
Yeah. So this will be our episode this week. There will be no episode tomorrow. This is it, guys. So I don't want to say enjoy, but
yeah, well, enjoy.
I hope this provides healing for the situation going on, and hopefully we can take one step to furthering this conversation. So thank you, sisters, for giving us the platform, for inviting us to talk about these things, and for your support. And thank you to Dom for being a beautiful light on this earth.
Hello, sisters. Welcome back to this very, very special episode of OK Sis. We have a beautiful soul with us, gracing us today, Miss Dom Roberts. You probably have seen her on social media over the past couple of days. She has an incredible presence on social media, really advocating for what has been going on in the world this past week. And she has what I believe is such an approachable and resourceful way to communicate the issues that are happening. So thank you, Dom, for coming on and talking to us today.
Thank you guys for having me. This is so cool. This is like my first podcast. Well, I mean, I've done Kenzie's podcast before, but this is like the first, I guess, talking about this stuff. And so thank you guys for allowing me to like speak on this. This is awesome.
Yeah, it's such a small world too, that you know Kenzie, we know Kenzie. I mean, the whole thing, it just comes so full circle, but we're so stoked that you're on. For those that don't know what you're doing on social media, do you want to talk a little bit about what your life has been like this week and how kind of it's taken off on social media in response to obviously the murder of George Floyd?
Yeah, so it's really crazy. So before all of this, I think I had like barely 1,000 followers, and I had woke up the morning of that George Floyd's murder, the video, it was circulating, Sean King had posted it, and I saw it, and I just, like, was devastated. Like, my first knee-jerk initial reaction when I saw the video, because it was, like, sensitive content, like, cover, was I, like, swiped out of it, because I was knew what was in that video, and I was just devastated, sobbing, and then I was like, you need to watch this and you need to see the truth of what happened. And so as soon as I saw that, I was like, what petition, what have people already started posting? And I saw that Sean King had like a petition and action steps. And I was like, great, I'm going to make a graphic. And what's really crazy is I made that graphic so fast, just trying to get resource and information out there, because I was like, there needs to be action right away. Like, this is an injustice. But, like, spelt his name wrong, and, like, people literally have just freaked out over that. So it's just been crazy, but different people have been posting it, reaching out, and from there it just kind of started this wildfire of, like, I can't back down now. And, like, I just keep posting resources, and I just want it to come from like a Black person that wants to help and be a part of the solution and inform and never belittle, never argue. I'm not here to debate. I'm not trying to get angry or upset with anyone, but I'm just trying to educate and inform.
Yeah. So, I think something that I've observed over the past couple of days is, I think historically white people have either been silent in these types of situations or, and probably silent because they didn't think it affected them, or they didn't know what to say, or they didn't want to come off as virtue signaling, which I think we have done in the past, where we were like, oh, we don't want to repost this because it might come off as an empty political promise or what have you. And it was really your IGTV that you posted about checking your white privilege and if you have privilege, and you saying you not posting because you're afraid of what others will think of you or how, or if others will judge you, is actually furthering the issue and is actually making it worse and favoring the oppressor. So that is kind of why I was like, oh no, yeah, okay, great. And I, I want to thank you for that push. And I apologize that it had to take you to say that for me to come to that realization. But I did realize that. And I think a lot of white people on the internet also have, and it feels like that has been the biggest difference about this murder versus the others. So kind of talk about that and the response across social media.
Yeah, I just feel like it's so jarring with George Floyd's murders, because like we just went through this. Like, it was just not too long ago when Ahmaud Arbery, that horrible video came out of that murder, and it was just so horrible. And it's like we had just had outrage, and then we had Breonna Taylor, the injustice that was done to her. And then it's like you wake up again, and it's like, again? And it's crazy because it's like both Ahmaud and George, like what they have is like there's a video and it's circulating and people are seeing it. And I just think what's so crazy is the reason why I was like, we need to post, we need to get the word out, is just because like if you leave it up to Black people to just have all the outrage and the feels, it's just like, of course Black people are angry. And I feel like, unfortunately, there's a narrative that Black people are just kind of always angry and always sassy and, you know, that narrative. And I feel like when white people speak up, it's like, oh, it's not just Black people that are mad. Everyone's mad. And it's like such a way to go into allyship with Black people when you say, listen, I'm spreading awareness and I'm posting this because I want people to know what happened. And I also need there to be steps behind it. Because it's like, it's one thing to know, like knowledge is power, but like it's power when it's used. So it's like, I was like, I'm not just going to be talking about it. Like, I want people to be doing something about it. And I was like, posting is such a great thing that we could be doing right now. Mm-hmm.
And then there's also, I mean, I think that there's also a different narrative in the sense that it's not just about posting, it's really about stepping up and doing something, as you've been saying, which I think in the past it's been more about just spreading awareness. And now it's like, okay, we gotta take some actionable steps. So there's, as a white woman in America and seeing, you know, my white friends and the white people I follow on social media, we're saying we're standing with the Black community, we're allies. We need to understand what that means. And so posting is a great way to start, but it's not the end by any means. Can you talk about maybe some of the best resources that you've found as you've been doing this research and posting that people can really actually affect change and get involved today?
Yeah, I think like you said, I think that's such a great thing to like hit on, is like, you can't be an ally on the internet. You know, it's so easy. It is easy. It's an ease to just post that, share the story, post on feed and talk about it. But it's like the other step is like, you need to be about it in the streets. You need to be about it in white spaces. And I think today I posted something, a infographic, and it just said, and it was a reflection post. And the headline was just like, just because you have a Black friend, like, doesn't mean you're not racist. And it's just like, we need to start reflecting, because as a society, we've picked up on underlying racism. But just even my post about the thug narrative is just like, there's so many different little underlying things. And I think like, even Black people, like, I feel like growing up in a predominantly white conservative, like, area in Arizona, I totally was just like, my dad was like, you need to speak a certain way, and you need to, like, my dad was so on top of getting us like fresh school clothes and like all of that, because he didn't want our family to be perceived as like this like lower class like Black family that so many, I feel like, white Americans like honestly do perceive Black people, but like don't want to admit to it. And just these different things, and like even I started to have like underlying prejudice for like lower class Black Americans, and I had to check myself, because I realized that when something like this happens, it's a leveler. It doesn't matter what economic class you come from, if you're Black, this matters to you. If you're Black, this affects you. And so with all my posts, I've been like, my white friends, I need you guys to reflect. And that's why I've posted those questions that I asked. And I'm like, we need to start asking ourselves these deep questions, and we need to be honest with ourselves. Like, we can't keep lying to ourselves when it comes to these things. And I even posted movies. I'm like, movies are an incredible resource. Mm-hmm. Like, I know we're like the Netflix generation. I'm like, then let's use it. Mm-hmm. There are so many incredible informational documentaries, honestly, just funny TV shows that just show you the insight to what it's like to be Black and American in the U.S. And I'm like, I know a lot of white people probably think, oh, like, that's for Black people. Like, you know, we get it. But it's like, actually, no, it's for everyone. Like, everyone needs to be watching shows like Blackish and like Black AF and like just all these other like awesome shows. I'm like, those are for you guys. And honestly, they're a resource. And I just want people to like start seeing these things and like start noticing that's like, you need to like get educated. And that's like a great way to like become an ally and take steps to make it not just a social media thing, but it's like now we're taking ground in the real world and in our inner circles.
Yeah. I'm so happy you mentioned Black AF because we just mentioned that on a recent episode. We love that TV show.
It's
the greatest. So Kenya Barris is just chef's kiss.
Iconic.
Yeah, I think there's something really there. And a sentiment that I've been hearing around social media this week as well has been, it's not enough just to be not racist. It now has gotten to a point where you have to be actively anti-racist. And, you know, everyone saw that graphic where it was like overt racism versus covert racism. And there is this like, of course, because you're not lynching or it's not very overt, there is this systemic deeper issue that even every white person has to come to terms with
also,
and understand.
And I don't know if this is controversial, but I think that this is something that someone needs to say, is that as a white woman, I do harbor racist feelings, because that's what's been taught to me my whole life. Like, I grew up in a white Jewish school. I didn't even know a white Christian, first of all, to be quite honest with you. But my communities are predominantly white. That's what it is. And when a Black person walks in a room, I notice the Black person, because like that's just how I've been taught, not by my parents. We're Jewish and we come from a community of acceptance. You know, we've been through the genocide with the Holocaust. But as you're saying, it's time for us to be fucking honest with ourselves and to say that that's what comes into my head when I walk into a room, and that's not what I want. That's not what I want. And so we need to understand that it's okay to say we think we have a Black friend, so we're not racist. We think we interview Black women on our podcast, we're not racist, but it's so ingrained in us, and we need to come forward and say that that's in our heart and not, that's in our minds, and that's not in our hearts. You know, like I'm fine saying it out loud because it's the truth, and we need to stop.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. And I think tokenism is so harmful. Tokenism is just proof. If you're going out of your way to prove that, look, if just to like honestly like cover your ass and be like, oh my gosh, look at all the, can't you see that I'm, if that's your goal to just be like, look, I have Black people, like, come on. It's scary. And it's like so many, it's like honestly embarrassing that so many companies use tokenism to be like, we're accepting, we believe diversity. And it's like, do you though? And I think that like the first step, I was talking with my friend Amanda, and she was like, I just need to talk to Black people right now. And I was like, honestly, I don't blame you. But she was just like, the white friends that I have been listening to and wanting to honestly have open conversations are the friends that have the most colorful friend group. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, right now, if your friend group isn't colorful, if it's all, everyone's copy and paste, you all look the same, then there is a problem right there. It's like your friend group, I'm like, and I get it, like personalities, all of that comes into play, but it's like, you need a colorful friend group. Mm-hmm. I have Asian friends, I have Mexican friends, like you just need culture in your life. And that right there is such like a leveler to to equality. Mm-hmm. 'Cause it's like you start to see people as people and not as, okay, like tokenism. And I think it's such an important thing that it's like we can't live off of tokenism. We can't be the kind of people that are like, well, look, it's like that is so harmful and so bad. And honestly, I'm not like trying to like shame anyone if that is what you've been doing, but it's like you need to start moving towards genuine diversity. And if that's a slow process, that's fine, but it needs to be in the back of your mind. It's like, I need to force myself to be into diverse circles, because if not, I think the reason why people struggle with covert racism is because it's an unknown. Mm-hmm. I don't know a ton of Black people, and the Black people I have met haven't been my favorite people. And so you start to buy into stereotypes, mm-hmm. and then you start to give into that. And then you start to notice, oh, Black person just walked into a room. Oh, that Black person's being loud. And it builds and it builds. And then on top of privilege. And then the next thing you know, you're a covert racist. And you have all these learned things from society. And then you cover with tokenism. And then you act like everything's okay. And it's just like, we need to stop doing that. Mm-hmm. It's like, we need to, just like you were adding on the layers of like tokenism, covert racism. It's like, you need to unpack it the same way. Mm-hmm. Unlearn this, unlearn that. Diversify my circle. It's like a peaceful study within yourself, taking out hatred piece by piece, because it's a process. It's not like I'm declaring I'm not racist anymore. Like, it's really a slow and peaceful and honoring process of accepting all cultures. And once you can do that, you can love anyone. And it's like, that's what we have to do. And what I want to challenge so many white people and white passing people to do is like, unpack yourself, be open, be raw, be real, cry. I love that. It's so beautiful. And it's like that right there. It's like, you guys are going to change the world. Your podcast is never going to be the same after this podcast, because then it's like true and genuine diversity. Mm-hmm. It'll change the world.
Yeah. Oh my God. Okay. Well, I have some thoughts. So going back to tokenism, I mean, it's so true. There's also a psychological term called moral licensing. It's a lot of what people felt when Obama was in office was, oh, we have a Black president, so I'm not racist. Oh, I voted for Obama, so I'm not racist. You see that a lot time and time again, and it's really, really important to understand when you are exhibiting that and when you're not. I'm resonate a lot with what you just said, especially because, and Scout and I have been talking a lot about this, although we to our core believe we are allies to the Black community and only want to lift up Black voices, we have not done a good job with the guests on our podcast. We have loved every guest that has come on. We have highlighted Black women. We have highlighted trans women. We've highlighted Asian women, Persian. Women. We have had people on that were diverse, but not nearly enough. It is, and we can say that we've done that, but we didn't work hard enough to get that actual colorful, diverse set that you are talking about. And
double of what we, our niche of what we saw, you know?
And it took a comment this past week for us to really examine that and say, and we've said in the past, like, oh, you know, we want to be more diverse. We've said it, but have we done anything to actually implement that? Probably not. We're the first person people to say that. So last week, I really touched on myself. I said, hey, why don't we have it more Black women? Why? And again, it's the circle, it's the insular circle that we've also grown up in, being Jewish and being in these dominantly white communities, and our feeds, who we follow, you know? And it took me literally, and I thought, oh, I'm probably gonna have to certain, which, you know, I didn't really think this, but I was like, maybe I'll have to search and put a little extra effort. It took me 5 fucking minutes less to find 50 more beautiful women that like have insane businesses and a great social media presences, people that would be so perfect as guests for OK Sis. And it was a huge realization for me. And I hope I'm not coming off as this like, yeah, girl, like this is what.
Yeah, but we have to be honest.
Yeah, I'm just trying to be honest. And it was a huge wake up call for me to be like, wow, actually doesn't, and maybe if I just exerted a little more effort, I could find these incredible diverse voices and make this podcast so much richer and give so much more back to our community. So I mean, Scout and I were going to talk about this, but we're vowing for the next 2 weeks to only, we already have booked like 5 African-American women to come on as guests, and we're vowing not just for the next 2 weeks, but for the entirety of our podcast, but especially for the next 2 weeks, only diverse voices are coming on our podcast because we need to start lifting them up and jumpstarting that.
Yeah. Time. And I think what's so beautiful is like the difference. Tokenism, I have to. It's forced. Oh, okay, sure. Yeah, have them on. Oh, they're Black? Oh, they're Asian? Okay, thank you. Yeah, great. Actually, that'd be perfect because like marketing and stuff, like it's a business. You guys, give them a platform. We have this platform, make it higher than ours. It's like that right there, that genuine diversity is what we need. And it's like, I will back any, I don't care if you started yesterday, I will back anyone that wants to fight for that genuine diversity. Not I have to, not it's a chore, but it's a privilege. It's an honor that people would even allow. Like, I don't even think white people realize how much of an honor it is that Black people would honestly even talk to them and let them hear the Black experience. And like, I'm not saying all of that in like an arrogant, like ignorant way. I'm just saying that like our whole lives, and maybe like, let me just use me. I don't want to generalize at all. My whole life growing up in a predominantly white school in like suburban, upper middle class, suburban Arizona, I was the only Black kid in my class till like third grade. And I had to just kind of like code switch. Like I was like, for me to fit in, this is what I need to be like. And this is who I need to be. And all of that code switching and just forming myself into everyone I saw around me, by the time I got into 7th grade, I hated being Black. I hated my Blackness because everyone that was like the guys were asking out and they wanted like just everything about me seemed wrong. And it wasn't until like later and in high school, it's like, I had to just come to a realization. It's like, dude, I need to love myself. And I just came to the realization. It's like, I need to support other Black people to love themselves. Like it's just like when you honor genuine diversity, it's like these people who honestly, there's so many Black people that honestly just hate the skin that they're in, hate their hair, hate everything about them. And it's like you bring that on top of injustice and racism, it's like low self-esteem in the Black community is so high because of these things. And it's like by you guys being like, no, I want confident Black women. I want Black-owned business owners like on my platform. I want people who like rags to riches on my platform. I want to show you that like being Black is beautiful. It's confident. It's just as good as me. And like, I think I want to prove that to like any Black person that feels that way about themselves, but also to my white followers to be like, that's the privilege. It's by you guys using your platform. And honestly, if I don't really like know your following that well, but if you guys do have a predominantly white following, it's more diversity. It's more, this is the truth. These are the, like you, they start to think like you guys. And it's beautiful. And it's what needs to happen. And that's how change takes place. It's like you guys declaring, making that vow. It's like genuine diversity only. If it feels and smells like tokenism, we don't want any part in it. And I think that is so beautiful and so real, and like using the white privilege that you guys have for good. And that's a pure prime example of it.
Oh, we're trying.
You are.
We have a lot to work on as, you know, privileged people and understanding what that means. And I think that that's, I think that this is probably the biggest takeaway here is, yes, we are going to be posting places you can donate. My husband and I donated to the Black Lives Matter group in Los Angeles this morning. And yes, we can sign petitions. And yes, we can call police officers. But I think that there also has to be a very, very honest conversation we as white people have to have with one another, which is why I was willing to share that regardless of what that looks like. And like admitting that I have racist tendencies that have been passed down institutionally to me. And I think that as white people, we need to spend some time really reflecting on that.
Yes.
Please.
Well, I'm just like, honestly, like you can ask, I just wanted to like, sorry, this might go off into a tangent. I'm sorry. I just wanted to like highlight something that like I'm posting a talk that, so I was on a drive with a friend, like I was on a drive and I called one of my friends. We just talking about everything that's happening. And we just kind of went on like this rant about the people in my, like the trolls in my comments. And we were talking about, I just wanted to make a point. I was like, do you know what's so crazy about the trolls in my comments? It's like when we think of like a racist person, like, okay, let's stereotype. Like I'm gonna stereotype right now. If we think of a racist person, we think of like conservative, old, white, Joey, that's 55 and is like barely knows how to use Facebook and is like trying to like piece together like a comment, you know? That's what he thinks like trolling social media, but it's not. The voices that are trolling my comment section and other pro-Black Lives Matter like comment sections and like Black comment, like Black people like comment sections and just whatever, is junior high, white, junior high, mostly upper middle class, junior high to high school. White boys or white passing boys, upper middle class to middle class, junior high to high school. Scary. Scary. Where does that come from? Well, it can come from two things. And sorry, this is just a little bit of a tangent and I'm going to post like an informational thing, but it comes from two places. Complacency in the home. So either their parents think that their history teachers are taking care of it, or learned politics in the home. Learned politics in the home is a little more complex because that's the environment that they're growing in. They're growing up in, it's all they're hearing. They're only hearing news from people that look like them, from people that look like their perspective. So it's not a genuine and true sight. But complacency in the home is scary because honestly, their parents probably don't think like that. But Mikey and Jimmy on the football team, when they have practice, their parents think like that. And so they're having locker room talk, and to be accepted and to feel a part, they give into that narrative. And it's like, what I wanna talk about is just, we need to have the conversation in our homes and in our circles. We need to watch the movies together, and then we need to talk about what we just saw. It's like, we need to read, and we need to have a genuine conversation as to why racism is wrong, what it looks like, covert, overt, all of it. Because right now, our history teachers are not doing us justice. Because if they were, we would not be in the situation that we're in today. And it's like, so we, as white people, like, it's like, I want to challenge all my white friends, followers, and white passing friends and followers. It's like, you guys have to do the homework and take, if you want to take the emotional burden off of Black people, then it's like you need to take on the emotional burden of learning where your racism and covert racism, underlying racism, as big and as small as it is, where did it come from? Mm-hmm. And how do you unlearn it? And you need to watch the movies. If you have a younger brother who says the N-word in songs, you need to stop him. You need to reprimand him. If you have a family friend, you have an old, I don't care if your grandpa is 75. I don't care if it's your brother who's 22. If they're bringing and saying, make a joke that's offensive, saying something that's offensive, you need to shut it down. And I don't care if it causes tension. I don't care if you don't speak to that person for months. It's like, if you want to be a true ally, what do you say about Black people, and how do you let people talk about Black people when no Black people are around? Mm. And it's like, until people start getting the gut, and honestly, the balls to do that, we are going to see no change. Mm. Because it's like one thing to make the decision for you, but it's another thing to call it out in people. That's the way, honestly. And like, I want to note this, to be the biggest ally, because everyone's scared of the bully in the room that thinks they can get away with saying these offensive comments. Even me, I was too scared. Because people will call me the N-word and like think it's funny and like be like, oh, what's up, my nigga? Like, whatever. And like think it's funny and think they could get away with it because they were popular, because they were white, because they were the pretty, like, and I would let it happen because if I said something, everyone was gonna gang up on me. Everyone would be like, why are you so sensitive? Why do you care? You know they're not racist. And so I would just be silent, be silent, be silent. And it wasn't until something happened and no one said anything. And this is like last year. Sorry, I get like a little emotional about it because like it was someone that like I respected and loved. And they just made like an offensive comment. And I was so hurt that I had friends in the room. Like, I mean like good friends in the room. And no one shut it down. And I just, like, it brought me down to, like, seventh grade Dom that hated herself and, like, didn't love her for, like, being Black. And I was just, like, when Ahmaud Arbery died, it, like, freaking lit a fire under me that I was, like, dude, enough is enough. Like, enough is enough. Like, we need to speak up. We need to get brave. I was like, never again will that ever happen. I will be labeled as the Black person that turns up on you, that you can't, that's honestly, if you want to call it microaggression, go ahead. Because I will not, you will not speak to me that way, and you will not speak about my friends that way. And that goes for anyone. I don't care if you're Mexican, Asian, if you have like some sort of offensive thing, underlying racism, I will call you out for it, and I will not apologize. And I'm not trying to, like, attack people. I think, like people think it would be, like, an attack. Something as simple as, like, that was not okay. Like, you need to apologize. That was not okay. That's not aggressive. That's not too wild to ask someone to apologize for saying something that was wrong and too far. Hey, like, this is an example. Someone says something offensive. You go, hey. You took that too far. That hurt so-and-so. That hurt their feelings. You need to apologize. Call it out. That was, dude, that was a racist comment. That joke is hurtful. These things, everyone thinks like Black jokes, all that. Like, it's not funny anymore. Like, it's actually not. Like, it's never been, but in high school, middle school, like, you got away with it, but now it's not funny anymore. And, like, it's something we need to take serious, and I just think that, like, sorry, I know this is a tangent, but it's so important. It's, like, these little white kids that get to troll the comments and just build their army of, like, see, I'm right, I got it, I have it all figured out, my politics are straight. They are going to own businesses. They are going to go into politics. They are going to be employers of people. And that's how they're going to view not only Black people. They're going to view women like that. They're going to view it. It's going to go down the list. and we're going to have round two of this, and my kids are still going to have to be fighting. So we need to have the conversation now, because my kids are not growing up having the same childhood that I had.
I mean, I think that you hit upon something, and if there are any high schoolers listening, and I know it's really hard as a middle schooler and a high schooler to speak out, because that's when your self-confidence is so reliant on a popularity, whatever it is, and it's so easy to freeze and stay silent. And I mean, I'm struggling if I should share a story, because it's not like, but I was in high school and I had Jewish Star on, and a guy was laughing at me, a white guy. And I said, "What are you laughing at?" And he said, "My grandparents gassed your grandparents in the Holocaust." And I didn't know what to do, because I didn't know. So I said, "They're silent." And all my friends who weren't Jewish were silent too. And I just remember that moment. So if we could like instill high schoolers to not do shit like that, because they're 16 and drunk and being stupid, you know, that's yeah. where it starts.
It's like, and what's so crazy is that is those are the kids, like, your experience is real. Like, don't like downplay, like, that is racism that you experience. So don't like downplay that. Like, that I feel that. I understand like how that feels. Like, there's so many slavery jokes, like whatever. Like, and it's just like, you need to make a stand right now that if you want to be an ally, that you're not afraid to be considered the girl that's overly sensitive, or the guy that's overly sensitive. I applaud people that are over, quote unquote, overly sensitive, because that means that you're not okay with hatred and racism. It's like, and it's just like, also parents. If you're like a parent, or like, even if you are like, have a younger brother or sister, and you, or you're just some sort of mentor to like these kids, it's like, you need to call it out. And you cannot assume that people, they're getting the conversation from somewhere. Because it's like, if you're not explaining why the narrative is so important, then it's like, I want to teach my kids. I want them to know the truth. And it's like, if they're not getting the truth from you, then what truth are they getting, and where are they getting it from? And it's like, if your parents aren't willing to educate, then like, you need to do your due diligence and sitting your brother and sister aside and being like, this is hard, but will you please do something with me? What does racism mean to you? Like, you need to gently approach in a loving way. Do not attack. If you want to have real, and I mean real, breakthrough with racists and people who have underlying racism, and the main reason why on my platform I am so gentle and so sweet, and will continue to be so gentle and so sweet to anyone who's willing to learn, and even the people that aren't willing to learn, is because one day I want them to learn. And I never want my platform to be like angry and yelling and belittling and arguing, because that becomes white noise. It's like, I want to be kind and gentle, and I want you to listen to what I'm trying to say, because this is serious. People are dying over this. People are like rioting, looting, and lighting cities on fire over this conversation that we're trying to have. It's killed multiple people. We've had multiple wars over this. And it's like, if we want to start having this raw, real, genuine, honest, truthful conversation, it starts here. And then it's like, I always say, it goes to your, it starts, the change starts in your mind, your world, then the world. And it's like, we need, like, we can't, like you said, like, I'm so sorry that happened to you. And it's just like, when we're silent, do you know, like, it's so isolating, that feeling. It's like, you probably felt so small and alone and hurt, and it was traumatizing, honestly. All those experiences are traumatizing, and it's like, if someone were to just have said something, how, like, wouldn't you just have felt so much more confident and so much more seen and heard and felt like, the emotion and sadness that you felt was like real and supported. And it's just like, I want that to be like this generation. I want this to be the generation that shuts it down. Like, I want Gen Z and Gen XYZ, like, I don't even know. Like, I want these next generations to be like, oh, I mean, you literally can't even say that without losing your job. Like, I want it to be that generation. Like, there will be zero tolerance for it. And it's like, I have hope that there are more good people than bad people, so that that is a reality. But it's like, you guys are good people. And it's like, I'm a good person, I would say. But yet all three of us have still realized that we had underlying racism that we picked up on. So it's like being a quote unquote good person isn't good enough. Like, you need to be an educated good person. And so, yeah, I'm sorry. That was another tangent. But really like,
that's fine. That's fine. And we're also so sorry that experience happened to you too. The silence, and I think a lot of why people are silent or why they continue to be silent is because they don't want to face this discomfort, and they don't want to, because who wants to be uncomfortable? Like, I mean, that's not a feeling people want to have. And especially when you go to social media and you want to be inspired, or you want to just look at pretty photos.
Yeah, like, you don't want to be a vibe killer.
Right.
Yeah, so, honestly, no, for real, that's real.
And I mean, I've been seeing also, you know, I feel like in the past couple of days, there's been just like so much discourse and so many narratives. And now, even today, I saw this other kind of point about feed fatigue and white people.
I'm like, no, that's real.
And just like, people, you know, not wanting to engage in this because it's uncomfortable, and they're like, when will my feed get back to quote unquote normal or what have you? And that is what I fear too, is like, okay, so we did all the posting, we did all the reposting, we did this podcast. What happens? Like, how are we going to engage and continue and make this conversation sexy? I don't know, make this something appealing, like make this something that people are urging to have, and that it's cool. As you said, it's the cool thing to do. It's the
honestly, Dom, I think that you are actually spearheading that, because I know that it's a very strange thing to say, but I'll say it. The way you presented your information was in an aesthetically trendy way that white people like to put on their feed. And therefore it was like, oh, but this looks good on my feed, so I can post it. And like, that's fucked up to say, but it's
it's marketing. It's marketing.
Like, even like, I was what's so funny about that is when I had the interview with Harper's Bazaar, like they were just saying like, that was like the reason why, like it was like in such a trendy way. And it's like, so honestly, like, I don't know. I don't really know how to work graphic design. Like, I know like a little bit, but I honestly do all my graphics off my phone and like just Photoshop on my phone. And what's just crazy is like, I interned at our church who actually have like really cool social media and are like, our marketing strategies and everything for like church are just like, it's really cool. And the number one thing that we hit on is like, is it shareable? And it's just like, honestly, yes. Like, I want my graphics to look shareable and be shareable. And like, no offense, like, this is just real. Like, this is just our generation, and this is the truth of our generation. It's like, dude, no one wants to mess up their feet.
Yeah.
Like, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. So I am going to provide graphics and things that look cool. And because it's like, why do they have to look lame? Like, it's just like, why do they have to? Like, it's just like, this could look cool. And this could like, honestly have the aesthetic of something that you want to repost, because I want people to share it. I don't want people to be embarrassed. Like, okay, honestly, the information in here is so fire, but like, my God, like, I don't want to even look. Because what's so funny is like, that you guys mentioned this, and I think it's so good, but there was this really good graphic that I saw, and it wasn't a good graphic. It looked ugly. It was the ugliest graphic I've ever seen, ever. It wasn't a good graphic. But the information in it was, I mean, just next level. I was like, yes, sir. Like, it was so good. But it was just presented in, like, the foulest, like, way. And I was just like, that's what we need to do. And I think, like, even what you guys are doing when you talk about, like, quote-unquote normal posting, it's like, bruh, I don't want to be that social. Like, I want to be a social media where people go to and they feel, instead of heavy-hearted and, like, burdened, like, okay, now I need to, like, do this deep soul-searching. It's like, dude, life is also not like that. Like, life is light, and it's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be free, and it's enjoyable. And I think, like, people think probably just because, like, of the stuff I've been posting, it's, like, really heavy and it's really intense. But it's like, if you followed me on TikTok before this, it's like, I actually, not that I have like a TikTok presence or anything, but it's like, actually, like, I love being funny. Like, and I feel like I have a really serious tone on my social media, but it's like, it doesn't always have to be that way. And I think what you guys are doing is just like, you're honoring diverse voices, and that's a new normal for you. It's still carrying on allyship. It's still being a part of the conversation, but it's normal. It's free, it's light, and it's a part of who you are. Like, it doesn't have to be your social media, like, head to toe, Black Lives Matter, like, Martin Luther King, like, Malcolm X. But at the same time, it's like, if something does happen again, and I'm fearful, and I hope and I pray, but in the back of my head, I kind of feel and know that something will happen again, I will be ready to post, and I will be ready to share, and I will be ready to speak out about it. But it's like, this heart transformation that you two have just had that is so beautiful, and I want other people to experience and realize the difference from, like, using their privilege for good, going from tokenism to diversity, because they're two different things, is like, it doesn't have to be like bone chilling, raw, real. Like, no one wants to see more traumatic stuff. Like, I don't want to see any more trauma. I don't want to watch another video. I don't want to, it's like feed fatigue, what you're talking about. It's like, enough. I want to see a cute outfit. Yes, that's real. Like, I'm not a psycho. Like, I'm not a weirdo that's like heavy, deep, dark. Like, you know, like, no, that's not what I want. But at the same time, it's like, you guys are switching it. So it's like, you're staying true to you. You guys are still having this amazing podcast, but now it's going to feature other diverse voices that you guys are going to uplift. That's staying true to you. And it's like, you kind of just have to figure out what that looks like. It's like, okay, yeah, if you want to post a selfie, don't feel bad about it. Like, don't, like, I don't know, like, don't have guilt for wanting to, like, you know, especially if you're like an influencer, like, okay, yeah, like, have like common sense. Like, I think there's some influencers right now that are like, okay, like, for real? Like, so you ain't gonna say, like, I mean, anything? Like, you ain't even gonna post like BLM? Like, I don't know, you know? And just acting like nothing's happening. And it's just like, okay, don't act like nothing's happening, because that's not the answer. But at the same time, like, you don't have to like turn your life into just like darkness. It's like, there's a happy medium. And it's like, that's what I'm working on for my page, and what like, I want to have like fun sources. Like, I want to have podcasts and like Black AF, Blackish, so funny. Like, I want to just do like the funniest episodes of Blackish that you can watch. Like, I just want it to be like lighthearted and informational and fun and peaceful, and know that like, I come as a friend. Mm-hmm. And I present these resources as a friend. And it's like, all of these things I'm trying to do is genuinely like out of the goodness and care and passion of my heart. Like, you know, like, you don't have to tag me. You don't have to credit me. Like, I don't care about all of that. It's just like, I want what you guys have experienced to happen to the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. It's like, acknowledge white privilege and now using it for good.
You are an incredible human being on all fronts. I know that this week has not been easy on you, just from the sheer fact that you didn't have a following and now you have a following, and this is what people like us are coming to you for. We're like, help us.
I'm like, this is exactly, like, I love this. Like, I will talk and talk. until like I literally can't talk anymore, honestly, because like I want to educate, I want to inform, and I want it to come from me, and I want it to come because I come from honestly just the most genuine, like peaceful, and like I'm listening. And like, ask me the dumb questions, honestly. Ask me like the embarrassing questions that you feel like you can't ask people, because it's like, I want to help. I want to be known as like, if like it all, like everything boils down, it's like, what was Dawn? She was like such a helpful person.
Mm. Well, you are, you are definitely a helpful person. You've obviously helped and inspired and touched us and led us to really, really reflect and think and be open about this. And you like keep doing what you're doing. I don't know.
Just be you. Like, just be you.
Your presence is incredible. Mm-hmm. We love you and see you and mourn with you and support you, and we are also here to help in any possible way we can as well. So
yeah.
Thank you so much for taking the time to do this.
Thank you guys. This is so cool. Like to be on like special guest. Like what?
Can you tell everybody where they could follow you, because your resources, your message, everything, everybody needs to follow you right now.
Yeah. So I'm just mainly posting on my Instagram. Honestly, I'm so bad about Twitter, guys. I don't know. It's just like.
So are we. So don't worry.
Yeah. I like try. I've like posted a few things on there, but like I don't think it's going to be like somewhere that I'm really like, I don't know. Maybe eventually, but like not right now. But yeah, my Instagram handle is Dom, ROBX. RTS. It's like so hard to spell that. I probably like spelled that wrong. I don't know. It's Dom Roberts, but instead of like yeah, the E, it's like the X.
We're gonna put it in the show notes, guys. So there'll be a link, and then on our Instagram we'll tag you and everything so everyone can find you super easily. So that'll be good.
Oh great. Thank you. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. The X was trying to be like cute, edgy. I don't know. But like no, I like can't even spell it. Like I can't spell. That's the other thing that like everyone's coming for me for. It's like I just want to like say this so quick. It's like I don't think people realize that it's like just me and like my friend Quinton. Like he just joined me and like starting. Like we're actually we're dropping merch. I know a lot of people have been like, how can we like support you? And it's like, okay, this first drop, we want to completely like donate the proceeds, and like moving forward, the other merch that we come out with, we will always be donating like a good amount of our proceeds to like other organizations. We're just working on doing it right. We like don't want to just be like, okay, like yeah, and then it's whack or it's just done wrong and we're like trouble on our back end. So we're just really trying to be like pro about all of it. But yeah, like my friend Quinton and I, it's like literally just us. And so when I have spelling errors and stuff, it's probably because I'm making a graphic at 3 a.m. to post at like 10 a.m. so I can like take a nap because I'm like sleep deprived. And so I'm really working on taking good care of myself, which is what I've done. But yeah, it's crazy because it kind of all happened overnight. So I'm like learning the rhythm of like, okay, like what's my schedule? What does this look like? Like, yeah, I don't know.
Well, we wish you all the success. We want
to be buying the merch for sure.
Yes, we want everyone to go follow you, to support you, and we love you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much.